Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we come before you and thank you that you have left us the testimony of your works and the things you have done. We thank you for the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that teaches us and brings all that has been said to remembrance and guides us into understanding, giving us the strength and the ability to walk out the things that you've called us to in Yeshua's name. We ask you, Lord, now to speak to us. We ask you to open up our hearts that we might understand. In Yeshua's name, amen. We've been working through the book of Acts, and we got into the 16th chapter, and we came to the point where Paul is ministering. If you turn over to Acts 16, I want to read these words. Verse 16, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by her fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said in the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison's doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his families were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household." Now, last time we were talking about this, we kind of took a detour. And we looked at a lot of scriptures dealing with demons and the whole issue that Yeshua's ministry, obviously full of healing and miracles of that nature. But one thing we have to realize that Yeshua dealt with demonic powers as well. And he commanded them to leave, and we looked at several examples of that. And we saw this thing of how demonic spirits can attach themselves to people and be a stronghold. And then we moved into looking at one particular thing was the spirit of divination. See, and that is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. That is somebody who's given themselves to contacting the demonic spirits in order to be able to try to predict the future. And we looked at scriptures on that. We talked about things like tea leaves and palm reading your palm and going to off to crystal ball readers and tarot card readers and your astrology. You know, what sign are you? And as believers, the only sign you should give to people is the sign of the Son of Man who comes in his glory and power in the name of Yeshua, because your lives are not governed by the stars. And no stars should tell you what kind of day you're going to have. And on top of that, God, we looked at scriptures that said that to do that is an abomination in God's sight, to try to predict the future through these means of contacting spirits or the stars or whatever, that God says that's a no-no. That's a bad thing to do. That's an abomination in his sight. And whenever God uses the word abomination, it's stronger than hatred. That means he's saying, no, that you don't do. And interesting is it's right up there with idolatry. You know, the number one sin of Israel was always idolatry. If you study through, the number one thing that God got mad with Israel over and over again was serving other gods. And one of the reasons why he was serving other gods is because they were trying to get insight to how, if they can win this battle, they could do this thing. They thought they could pursue these pagan gods and get insight. Now, today in America, we're so sophisticated, most people would not pursue pagan gods, per se. Right, we're too sophisticated for that. So we have to wrap it in science and, you know, give it a fancy name, maybe some sort of mental psychology type of thing. If we wrap that around it, people are willing to buy into it. You know, if you start talking about contacting some power, some metaphysical power, let me buy that book. That sounds really great. I can increase my mental abilities to tap into the flow of cosmic life in order to interpret the direction of the universe. Oh, people would sign up and they'll get the signature and buy the book. And if you turn around and told them, well, what do you think about demons? I don't believe in demons. I don't believe in contacting demonic spirits. But entities on other planets who can speak through us by channeling mind power, oh, that we're ready for. And they don't know that they're really buying into something that God says is an abomination. And so this spirit of divination was a demonic spirit. Now, demons really can't tell the future. Okay? You need to understand that. They have only person that knows the future is God. Do you understand that? But demons have been around for a very long time, a lot longer than any of us in this room. And they have a very large network. You think about the information highway that's out there, the sharing information. They've been sharing information for years. And they'll share information about you and your family and all the things. And with that, that somebody who taps into that and seeks to channel that kind of power can give you information that sounds like they have the power of God. This is not a new thing. Remember Simon the sorcerer? He deceived the people into thinking that he was the power of God. But he did it through divination. He did it through various rituals and that sort of thing. We talked about Balaam. Balaam went up and used pagan ways to try to give a message. But he was even probably shocked himself that God's spirit came on him. And then in one place in Scripture, it says the last time that he was called up on the mountain to try to curse Israel, that he says when he saw that God's spirit kept coming on him, the last time he said he didn't use these ways of enchantments to try to get a word. He just went out and just started speaking to the creator of the universe. And he stopped the way of divination. And we saw Paul, who's ministering, and here's this girl who had this demonic spirit who knew things about people. And so her master, she was a slave girl, used her to make money. You know, set up a little booth, come, get your future read, you know, and people pay their dollars and they get information. Information might sometimes be partially right. Couldn't really tell the future, but it could tell people about themselves. That's why, like, when people go to astrology today, that's what they think they're doing. Well, I just need to know a little bit better about myself. So when was I born, and where were the stars, and what does it say about me, and this is my personality, and this is who I am, and they get locked in, and they don't know they're locking themselves into something that God says is an abomination and shouldn't have anything to do with. Because God didn't lock you in that way. He's your creator. He didn't put you under the stars to be ruled by. So you don't submit to those things. The only person you should be looking to for who you are and what you are and what you should become is God himself. And so we looked at that. But here's the thing. This spirit of divination, you know, that was moving on this lady, we don't know why Paul allowed this to go on for so long. We can only guess. I get a sense that first Paul didn't know what was really happening. He didn't know what spirit was behind. And so he's trying to hear from God. What's the spirit? See, there's a gift of God called the gift of discerning of spirits, where God can show you what spirit is behind a thing or a person or an event and tell you what spirit's behind it. Because everything that goes on has some kind of spirit behind it. It might be a person's own spirit. It might be a demonic spirit. It can also, the Holy Spirit can move an event. So when somebody speaks, you have to say, oh, is this from God or not? And so it went on for days, and it just said that he eventually was annoyed by it. And it's interesting that the thing the girl was saying, there was nothing wrong about what she was saying. She was speaking the truth. These are men of the Most High God. You know, they bring in the message of salvation. Listen to them. But how many of us, as I said to you the last two times, want a demonic spirit announcing your ministry? Even if it's right. I wouldn't. Not at all. And eventually, Paul got annoyed. At some point, I believe he said, this is not God. Man, think about it. He was going to the place. This place hadn't gotten to a place where they could have a synagogue. So the Jewish women of the area were gathering together for prayer. And they had established a place outside of the city to gather together to pray. Paul found them, and he ministered to them. Lydia came to faith. And so they had an outdoor area of prayer. And so they were seeking the face of God, and here this girl comes along in the midst of them. So, you know, it would be just like in here. Somebody gives a word, overall we think, oh, this must be God, because we're people here. We're here to worship God. We're here to seek his face. We're not here to seek out demonic spirits or worship foreign gods. So we expected, and we would expect that anything somebody would say is from God. But sometimes we have to wake up, hear the voice of God, and realize that's not God. So if you judge what she said based on her words alone, if you just use intellect and say, okay, these are men of the Most High God, that's true, it must be from God. This must be the Spirit of God. Because there's nothing wrong with the word. It's perfectly right, perfectly sound, perfectly lined up. Problem is, it came from a demonic spirit. And Paul eventually realized this is a demonic spirit. And he got annoyed with it. And I'm glad he did. And we should get annoyed with demonic spirits also. And get tired of them and eventually do something about them. And take authority in the name of Yeshua and command them to leave. You know, if you're attacked personally and you sense a presence, you have authority to speak to that thing and say, get out of here. No, you will not taunt me. Some people who are oppressed and suddenly start to feel depressed. You don't know why. You're happy. I was like, feel depressed. And you're not on any kind of drugs or anything for being out of balance mentally. You just suddenly feel this heaviness. Sometimes you need to realize this is not because you haven't had the proper amount of sugar. But this is a spiritual attack. And sometimes you need to stand and take authority. And says, in the name of Yeshua, no. Get out of here. I just speak to you. Be gone. And the same thing for your children and your family. You have authority in Messiah. And that's what we looked at. We wanted to see that point. And we were looking at scriptures that shows that we are given the same authority in Yeshua to deal with demons.
See, the thing I was trying to get across to us was, first of all, to have a healthy respect and seriousness that there are demonic powers and they're not to be taken lightly. We have to be serious about it. See, because Satan tries to move people in one or two directions. He either tries to move you into seeing the whole demonic thing as funny. That's why Satan is drawn as this little funny-looking cartoon character, red, with a little tail out. That's not what he looks like. But that's how people see him. So he's like this little tiny devil that pops on your shoulder, and it's cartoonish, so you don't take it serious. And then with our Western thinking, we get to the point and say, well, you know, these things are not real. These were just figurative speech that the Bible was using because the people back then were not as intelligent and smart as we are today. And so because we're so much advanced and smart than they are, they didn't understand that these were really psychological and physical things that were going on and that were real, no real demons. And he goes, so what about Yeshua? Was he dumb like that too? Because he spoke right to those spirits and they spoke to him. They go, oh. So Satan's point there is to get you to think it's silly, so therefore you won't even consider that there's a demon working in your household and against your family members and against your loved one and against that person you've been trying to get saved. You can't understand why they can't see the truth, and you don't understand there's demonic power working there. And so that's one way he works. And it's worked well for him. So he can make a whole business of it. He can make movies. He can make it. You laugh at it. You don't take it serious. If that doesn't work, then he works the other direction. The other direction he works is to get you so much aware of the demonic realm and all that's there that he puts fear in you. And so people grow up watching horror flicks, thinking it will not affect their spirit. And they just take it in and take it in. And then when reality comes and they really see that there really are demonic powers, they are running for the hills and afraid to take them on because they've seen all the horror flicks and what happens when you mess with Freddy. And that becomes their basis for belief. And it works well for Satan. It doesn't work at all for those who grab into it. And so what I want you to get is that one hand, see that to get rid of the cartoon character, demons are real. And they really do move today and work in people today, and people give themselves to it, and they have all types. You can spend all day listing the list of types of demons and what they are, and we wouldn't have time to get through all of them. So I want you to have this seriousness, but I don't want you to swing way over the other side and be fearful. Because in Yeshua, you've been given authority and power. What I want you is to become sober-minded that this thing is real, but to stand strong that you've been given power and authority to deal with demonic things. And you don't have to be afraid of them. I wish some believer would rewrite the whole Freddy series. The whole Friday, whatever the thing was called, and rewrite it with a born-again, strong-in-the-faith believer walking into the situation. And then we will see a different state of how Freddy is dealt with. But believers are not writing those things in there. So for maybe Frank Peretti's could do it. He's written some good stuff that shows the power of God and the seriousness of the demonic battle that goes on. Before we go on, let's look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Yes, sir. Sure, please. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's a good point. And if you ever do a full study on revival and go back to the whole history of revival, going back to Wesley and on up through Charles Finney and on up to Smith Wigglesworth's ministry and other ministry and moves of God, even up to modern day things of Pensacola and Toronto and all these things, you will find that a lot of times in the move of that Satan will try to insert himself into a genuine move of God. And leaders have to be discerning about that and realize that every manifestation doesn't necessarily mean it's God. So you have to discern and say, well, what spirit is this? I remember being at an event one time where Sid Roth, and we were ministry, actually invited him to come and minister when we used to meet at another place. And Sid was ministering, and we had prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Several people had received the Holy Spirit. And this one person came in later, and Sid's now trying to teach. And this person just kept loudly falling out and speaking in tongues during the message. You know, now it was a highly charged night. So nobody thought anything about it. It's a very highly charged night. Several people have fallen under the power of the Spirit. Several people speaking in tongues. There were words of prophecy. There were some genuine healings that had taken place. And so you're not thinking anything about it. You think, oh, yeah, she's just got the Spirit of God on her. And he tried to treat some more. And every time he would try to make a point, she'd get all stirred up. And everything would be drawn to her. And finally, Sid was preaching on the side, and I saw him. He just stopped. He went, thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, I command you to come out of her. She went down, boom, boom, and she screamed and yelled, and that was it. She was silent for the rest of the evening. And she was a different person, and she stood up. And it wasn't the Spirit of God on her. It was a demonic spirit that was trying to keep people from hearing the preaching of the Word of God. But it took discernment. He didn't know at first. He's just ministering, and then it kind of came to him. I kind of got a picture like Paul. He's like, I don't know. This is not God. And he dealt with it. So we got to be discerning. That's a good point. Thank you for that. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of his might. Be strong. As a saying, we say, chazak. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Chazak. Be strong. Not in your own strength, not in your own power, but in God's power. You want to depend upon God, not what you're capable of doing, not with how smart you are, not with how well you've studied this and the other, but really saying, Lord, I'm depending upon the moving of your Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my ruach, my spirit, says the Lord. So you want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And now he tells us, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is not a suggestion. This is not when you get around to it. But this is Paul saying, look, this is crucial that you put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the attacks of the devil. He's saying to believers, you're going to be attacked. I would love to tell you that once you become a believer, that everything is rosy and nice and nothing bad will ever happen to you. There'll be no attacks. Come and get saved, and once you get saved, you'll live on a cloud and a bubble, and life will be peaceful and nice. Rev's like, yes, I want that. I got news for you. When the Lord calls you, he's calling you into military service. He's calling you to be a warrior. I'm so happy. I don't think I could dislike the idea of a harp and a cloud. That just doesn't set with me. A little bit more man than that. But, you know, the idea of a warrior, like, now you're talking something here. There was a difference. We grabbed all the guys here, the manly men, and brought out, you know, tiddlywinks. Come on, man, let's play tiddlywinks. They'd be like, okay. But we get something a little bit more, you know, just something simple, still civil. Let's go out and have a football game out in the front now. Oh, the guys be like, all right, we get the hit? Yeah, get the hit, all right. It's Children, you see it in your children. Young boys, they love to wrestle. Young boys love best of friends, choking each other, knocking each other down afterwards, shake the hand and go, that was great, wasn't it? You got me good that time. Generally, girls don't play like that. They play totally different. But guys are like that. We don't spend a lot of time talking our time. We just love to buck up every once in a while. That's how we become friends. Got to have a little showdown. Then afterwards, hey, you're all right. I know Sophia's just going, I know. Why did Lord make you guys that way? But it's good. But I got news for you, whether man or woman, you got to learn to fight. Because he's not talking to the men only here. He's saying to the whole body, whether man or woman, he says, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the attacks of the devil. Yes, we will pray for one another. Yes, we will encourage each other. Yes, we will stand in the gap for each other. But I'm going to tell you, people can't stand in the gap for you or your life if you're not willing to stand up and move in the things that God has put into your life. You need to stand, each and every one of you, in the things of God. He wants each and every one of you to be a warrior. We're only as strong as each of us holding and doing the work that God has called us to do. He's knitted us together as one. So each person has to bear the sword that God has put in your hand for the kingdom. Some people love to study the whole thing of war. One of the most powerful warring groups on the earth were the Spartans. Spartacus! These guys would sit there. They had this thing where they get their shields all together and go into almost like a little cocoon, and the other army would be shooting all these arrows at them, and they would be under all their shields, and all these arrows would come down and not touch a person. And then they just rise up. They had this thing. They rise up out of that boy with their spears, and they could take on armies that were way larger than them because they had learned strategy of war. I'm not encouraging everybody out to go get a physical shield and a sword and start hacking people. But there's a lot you could learn from the strategy of war. Go get it. I mean, really, go find a good book of somebody who's writing about the strategy of various wars to that. You will learn things from that. Get into the scriptures. See how battles were fought. See how God moved, what he used, what he did. God didn't want wimpy people. When God chooses you, you need to realize that says something. God's saying, I don't consider you a wimp. You might think you're a wimp, and God's, no, you're right for me. I want to use you for the kingdom, and I'm calling you to great things. So he says here, put on the whole armor. And he tells us the truth. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies. Here's the thing. He didn't say you might wrestle. He says you do wrestle. And they're not against flesh and blood. Another trick of Satan is to get you dealing, to try to get us dealing with each other in the flesh. It's Ram's fault. He doesn't like me. He's got an attitude issue. And I need to deal with him. It has nothing to do with him. But if I get focused on that way, I'm not going to go to where the problem will be resolved if we have a problem. We don't have a problem, just so y'all know. We're fine. We're just okay. Just an example. Somebody's sitting there, well, we better pray for those brothers right now. They got an issue. We don't have an issue. But if we had an issue, it would have to be resolved in the spirit. That's where it has to be resolved, because that's where the break really takes place. It's a spiritual break. That's where it's restored. That's what happens when you forgive. You think something's just happening in the physical. No, there's something happening in the spirit realm that breaks the stronghold of the enemy that divides us. So powerful. That's why we can't hold a grudge, because spiritually bitterness will rise up and not only defile you, but defile everybody associated with you. So we forgive quickly. We restore quickly. We try to rebuild a bridge. We try to come back together. We try to bring people to the place of repentance, praying for God to grant it to them. And he has to grant it to them. If he doesn't, I mean, we see some things about God we don't like to think about sometimes. We want to make God, he's the big heavenly popper in the sky, and he never would do anything wrong. He would never throw anybody into a lake of fire. He's a nice papa. He don't do anything like that. I got news for you. Papa got a big belt. Okay? Scripture says he's a consuming fire. And it says he knows how to preserve the wicked to the day of judgment. Do you understand what he's saying there? It says in Thessalonians that because people refuse to believe the truth, God says he will send them great deception so they will believe the lie. He's sending it so that they will enter into deception so they can be judged. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh thought he was hardening his heart. God says, so you want to play that game? I will harden your heart. You can't repent if you wanted to. For my purposes, you think you got the upper hand? Let me tell you, you don't. I'm going to harden your heart. You can cry with all the tears you want. You can't even come to repentance unless I grant it to you. And that doesn't speak, you know, there's a lot of brothers in Messiah. Look at me, I don't agree with that brother. There are pastors out there telling me, I think yeah, that's not right. But it's what the word says. It's what the word says. So on one hand, we tremble as we approach this God who wants to hug us. And then we receive his love. But we always remember he is a consuming fire. And it's only for his mercy that we're able to walk into the midst of that fire and not be consumed because of his mercy. But it's real. So we're going to wrestle. And he gives principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. And these are different levels of authority of powers. There's some demonic powers that are little tiny things that don't have that much power. There's some that are over whole nations. And if you're going to deal with them, you better be right with God, or they will tear you apart. They don't have authority over you. If you're right with God and standing in Yeshua, can't touch you. You got power. But you better be right. You can't come in half-stepping, you know, been out doing all this sin, not repenting, and then said, now let me go deal with demonics. I'm ready. I got authority in Jesus. Hallelujah. And then you get ripped up, beat up, and don't understand. Because God's saying, I'm not with you. You're over here running. God's sitting there saying, I was just trying to get you to repent over here. Now you're out there fighting and doing all kind of stuff, and you still over here got all this mess that you haven't repented of that I need you to repent of, or I'm not going with you. It's like the children, I'm not going with you. If you go, I'm not going with you because you don't believe and you're not getting things right and you got things wrong, your attitude's wrong. I'm not going with you. Oh, we're going anyway. And I got beat up. Sometimes we do the same thing. God says, I'm not in that. But God, it's a good thing I'm going to do it anyway. And then it becomes a mess. And afterwards, oh, what did I do wrong? You have to go back to the place where you were before. It's okay, God, I blew it. So you're going to wrestle. Another thing about wrestling, it's close. Ladies, don't get turned off by this, but it's sweaty and nasty and yucky, and you get to smell the underarms of the other person. It's disgusting. It's a yucky thing. Guys love it. Guys love it. Get in close. Wrestle. Some of you know I was of my background in various martial arts, and I remember one time we were dealing with an area where we're dealing with judo, and one of the things that was a trick is let your gi get really stinky. You didn't come in with fresh, starched, clean gi. Your little uniform stank. You wore it for weeks, never washed it. It stank. And so when you're doing judo and you get a guy in a certain hole and you just smother him. And he couldn't breathe. And he tap out real quick. I'm out. That's it. I can't breathe. And you stink. When you wrestle, it gets stinky in the natural. We understand that. You can't wrestle from a distance. You have to get in close. Paul got in close. Paul got right there where the demonic spirit was and dealt with it. You're going to have to do the same. You can't just stand a distance tossing little things. Get out of here, demon. Get out. You've got to have authority. You've got to have power. And you got to get in. You got to know your power. And you got to get in close. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassadors in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even Paul knew that even for his own success, he needed other people praying for him. And you needed to. Don't be so private about the things you're going through that you won't share with people. I'm going through something and I need prayer. Some people are like that. Very private people. Don't want people to know their business. Nobody got any business being in my business. My business. I'm going to just pray. I'm going to be one sole person. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to stand and I'm going to take care of this. I'm a man. I'm going to handle it. My men are very guilty of this many times. And you're just so one little step away from deliverance, if you just simply would invite one other person in to agree with you and begin to pray. Paul just laid it out. This is Paul the Apostle. Everybody, his name was round. And Paul, yeah. Rav Shaul. Man, the rabbi used to be against us, and he's preaching with authority and power in Yeshua. And he goes, I, after you put on all that armor, after you got all the weapons up there, oh, by the way, the last and most important thing I want you to do is to pray for me that I will have boldness to open my mouth in the things of the kingdom. Paul was struggling with opening his mouth? We were thinking, oh, this is a guy set for the kingdom. But he's no different from us. Same fears you have in going to your mother-in-law and telling them the gospel, or your neighbor, or your friend that needs to be saved. The same scaredness that you get at times. I just don't know. What if they reject me? Grow up. And if you want to grow up, ask people to pray. Like, I would love to share the gospel, but I do get scared. That's the first step of freedom. Announcing where you are. I get scared. I need more boldness. Well, you want more boldness? Get people praying for boldness for your life. And God will hear that, and you will get more boldness. We need to pray for one another. And not always from a distance. And the only way we can get close in is that we open up ourselves enough to say, hey, here's what I'm going through, and I need prayer. I need prayer. Can you pray for this for me? I'm having trouble at home. I'm not getting along with my wife. I'm not getting along with my children. It's not going well. And I don't know what the answer is. What do I need to do? I don't know, brother. I don't know if I have the answer for you, but I know one thing we can do. Let's pray right now for God to move. And believe that God hears it, and he'll give you the answers. Okay? Now let's go back and close out with Acts. Not the whole book of Acts. It'll take a while. Just one last point I want to make on this for today. If you heed the exhortation to put on the whole armor of God, if you receive the fact that authority and power has been given to you in the name of Yeshua to deal with demons and to speak the word of God with power, good. But please understand that even if you do all those things, it doesn't mean that in the natural world that you will be received. I mean, think about it. You think this would be a good thing. This poor girl, she's got a demon that's been in her and everything. And Paul cast the demon out. She's a better girl now than where she was before. This lady had this demon living in her, and now this demon's out of her, and she's free. You think everybody, throw a party. That's freedom. Let's live it. Let's have a celebration. Let's make this the day of this safe girl's release. This is wonderful. Well, wicked people don't care if you're free. They're just looking at what kind of money they can get out of you. They don't care if the things they're saying to you is bringing you into darkness. They don't care if the books they've written are leading you away from God. They don't care if the things they're saying is going to cause you to be in a place where God's judgment is upon you. Young ladies, the young man that says to you, well, look, I just love you so much. You know, I just want to express that love to you. And if we could just get together, you know, and just, you know, experience one another outside of the covenant of marriage. That is a person who does not love God, nor do they love you. Because why would somebody put you in a place to be against God and God to be against you so that God's wrath and judgment is upon you? Now, they may have done it in ignorance because of things they were taught, but nevertheless, they're being used by Satan to lead you into darkness. And they have to wake up. And they may. And I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers, guys. People who confess the Lord. This is what's going on. Because God is love. And if you love one another, it's okay. What a twisting of Scripture. The evil one will use whatever for his own purpose. To better himself, to feed his own flesh, to get his own way. And at the end, when you're all used up, just go find somebody else. Even one will not stand at the last day and say, I'll speak for this person. Don't cast him into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Knowing that that's the place he's going to end up. He knows that. Satan knows. God has already spoken to him where he's going to end up. He knows that Gehenna was prepared for him. He knows he will be cast into the lake of fire because God has told him so. The demons know that's where they're going to end up. That's why they come in and say, Son of man, have you come to torment us before the time? They know where they're going to end up. But in the meantime, they're going to work havoc. It's almost like, let's see how many people we can take with us. They're not your friends. They're not your friends. And so when you go to minister in power, you might find that those who are under that same influence of the demonic world, either directly or indirectly because of the money they can make from it, that they won't see what you're doing as a good thing. And so instead of these people being happy, they got very mad with Paul. And they started lies. They immediately thought, oh, this is great. We're not going to make money off of this thing anymore. I mean, his girl is probably, for the first time in her life, her eyes are clear. For the first time in her life, she can think straight. And instead of them going like, wow, look at her, she's such a beautiful girl. Instead, they're going, we're not going to make any more money. So they start to spread lies about these men, being Jews, have come in and they're teaching stuff that we Romans don't believe in and shouldn't be taught. And their reaction was to have them locked up, and the poor jailer who had to lock them up because the people were so, the magistrate, and they were so full of venom, said, you know, we're serious, lock these guys up. And they realized, boy, if we let these guys go, we're in trouble. Roman, if you're a Roman jailer or a soldier and everything, and you've been given a charge, and you don't keep that charge, you don't want to fall in the hands of your people. And so out of mercy, you just kill yourself. Because the torture you would go through for failing at your post would be a lot worse than you killing yourself. So it's very common for Roman soldiers that when they went, oh my, oh, the tomb is empty. Oh my, we are in trouble. Let's make up a lie. Let's say that we got overpowered. Some people came in, they stole the body because they knew that the results could be the torture that they would go through. Probably they would be crucified as well. And so this guy's like, I'm just going to kill myself. I mean, it's better than being crucified. And Paul says, stop, don't do it. Isn't it amazing? A couple of things here, and I do want to close with this. This is some stuff that we need to learn from this. Thank you, Lord. They're thrown in prison for doing what's right, for serving God. And so they immediately contacted their lawyer. Saw what lawsuit they could bring against them. Got one of those high-powered lawyers. We've been treated unfairly. Freedom of religion was broken. We're going to bring our lawyer in and stop all this stuff. No. They get in. This is what they do. Verse 25. But at midnight, understand, they're down in the inner prison. See, the outer part, inner prison was the dungeon part. And they shackled them. So you can't move. And there's not a little toilet there for you to go to the bathroom. So if you get to the point where you can't hold it anymore, guess where you go? On yourself. Yeah, it's nasty. There are rats all around. You're shackled, so you got to fight with the rats. It's a bad place to be. It smells like urine. People probably died there. It's got all kind of disease. And you're there simply because you cast a demon out of a girl. And so here's what they decided to do. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners who were in there, listening. Because you in prison, you know, probably talking smack would be the thing you'd be doing. I get out of here, I tell you, I'm going to get them because this is the wrong way I was treated. Just going on. This ain't right. Blah, 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 and cursing and swearing. And they all of a sudden hear these guys going, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For his mercy endures forever. And they're praising God, and they're singing hymns, and they're just praying and thanking God. Hadul Adonai, we thank you, Lord, that we were counted worthy enough to suffer for your name's sake. They're glorifying God. They're lifting up his name. And the prisoner are going, what is up with these people? They're shackled, and they're talking praises and hymns and singing spiritual songs. What's wrong with these people? They're different. They're different kind of people. And God hears their cry. And he sends an earthquake. And you know it's a strategic earthquake. Because not only did the doors open, but the stocks fell off. And nobody's hurt. Wall didn't fall down on them. Bricks didn't fall down and crush them. They're just released. This is, it's probably an angel that was involved in that. Scriptures doesn't say, but probably. We know angels are involved in things like that. And none of the prisoners or Paul and Silas ran out. Isn't that interesting? The thing is, he missed that. And so the guy's ready to kill himself when he comes in and sees the doors open. And Paul says, oh, we're here. So what are they doing? I don't know, it doesn't say, but I got an idea. They're all praising God. That's what they were doing when the earthquake happened. Why would they stop? They're praising God, and the prisoners are listening. They're not going anywhere either. We heard those guys praising God. We heard those guys speaking of God's goodness and greatness. And they're not leaving. We ain't leaving. We're all going to stay here. And Paul stops the jailer from killing himself. And the jailer's just like on his knees, like, what must I do to be saved? And they preach Yeshua to him. And he receives Yeshua, and jailers in those days had a house set to the thing, and it had the family there. So his whole household also heard the message, and they accept Yeshua. And they all get baptized. And then they sit down for a meal together. The prisoners and the jailer all sit down together, and there's brothers in the Lord. Family, mishpacha, eating together. The glory of God. You're going to have trials as you step out and the authority of Yeshua is not going to always be received with joy. But if it goes wrong and looks negative, I exhort you, don't become bitter. Don't become discouraged. Give praise to God. Give glory to his name. And watch what he does in the midst of it. Let's all rise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've called us to be your servants, that you've given us authority and power. Lord, may we not shrink back, but Father, may we stand in that authority. And if it costs us, Lord, that we have to be jailed or prisoned or hurt or lose a job or be fired because we're standing up for righteousness, Lord, let us give glory and praise to you, knowing that you provide for us. You are Adonai Yireh, and you meet our needs according to your riches and glory. Let us not give glory to the evil one. Let's give glory to you in Yeshua's name. Amen. We could have the elements of the Lord's table brought forth.